thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome, for his political roundtable debut, a Democratic state representative from Providence, Aaron Regenberg. Thanks for joining us, Representative.
Thanks, Ian. Glad to be here.
14 people were killed during a shooting attack Wednesday in San Bernardino, California. We're taping here on Thursday, and it remains unclear what motivated the attack. Yet the Washington Post reports that a mass shooting has occurred somewhere in America every week so far in 2015. Representative Regenberg, is this just the way it's going to be in the U.S. from now on? And if not, what would it take to change this?
I think that's a good way of putting it. I mean, this tragedy is heartbreaking and saddening and sickening, but what is most terrifying to me is just how routine this has become. As you said, we are the only country on earth where these horrific acts of violence have literally become an everyday affair, and that, to me, is absolutely chilling. This should not feel regular, and it's starting to feel regular. Can we change it? We need gun control. And it's, as we know, there are some major political interests that are opposed to that. And whether we're going to be able to shift that, I think, depends on how much the gun control advocates can get organized. Because right now we know the NRA, we know the other gun rights groups are, not only do they have a lot of resources, but they're very well organized. They've got a lot of power in the Rhode Island State House. We know they've got a lot of power in the National Congress. And I think the gun control advocates have been working to get more organized, and I think that's what's going to make the difference.
Let's get Maureen in here. Maureen, do you think the frequency of these assaults will bring about a tipping point where there's more pressure in an opposite direction?
That was the phrase that I was about to use, a tipping point. I hope perhaps this may be a tipping point, especially since it's already in the works to renew the assault weapon ban. The thing about this is, it's not that the violence is routine. It's this horrific kinds of mass shootings that are facilitated by assault weapons. I mean, these were two people, four guns legally purchased. It's outrageous. And I'm stunned by the idea that we can't get over that hump in as far as the Congress is concerned, and also even tightening up our own laws a bit. When you have the Republican Party, and I like the Republicans, I want them to do well, but the fact is when they have a statewide meeting and give away a facsimile of an assault rifle, I mean, we've got to change this, and I hope this is it. I hope this begins to have some effect on how we consider these things, because it's outrageous.
Scott, investigators have not ruled out the possibility that this was a foreign-inspired terrorist attack. If so, and if there are more of these, if there's a Paris-style attack in the U.S., what do you expect the fallout will be?
Well, it's funny because I disagree with Maureen. This kind of violence is routine. Every day, people use guns. They commit suicide. Their kids shoot mothers. It's become really crazy. If you listen to the BBC or other people around the world, they just say, another day in the United States of America, just another day, they said, another day of gunfire, panic, and fear. The Republicans say this is a mental health issue. The Democrats say it's a gun issue. The fact is, it's both. And we need to somehow stop a system where 40% of the people who buy guns aren't subject to background checks. A recent Harvard study said that we got to close the gun show loophole. We have to have some kind of meaningful waiting period. Now, is that going to happen overnight? No, the NRA basically owns the Republicans in Congress, and that's a real problem. But I think it's good. Hopefully we're at a tipping point.
Former West Warwick State Rep Tim Williamson is among five candidates for a vacant post as a district court judge. State House sources think Governor Raimondo is unlikely to pick Williamson, particularly after a Channel 10 story outlined how he had some previous brushes with the law. Scott, is this conventional wisdom right? And what steps, if any, do you think could be taken to depoliticize the judicial selection process?
Well, look, there's always going to be politics involved in choosing judges. It's just, where is it? Is it with the legislature, the governor, or is it with an independent commission? There's always going to be some politics here. And I'm not sure what the governor will do. I do know that the way this works up there as the Senate gets a judgeship, the governor gets one, and the House gets one. And it's been that way forever and ever and ever. And I'm not sure what's going to happen to Mr. Williamson, but I think one thing that'd be nice to close would be the magistrate loophole, frankly, where we just put people in the back door without having to go through judicial nominating commission.
Representative Regenberg, many of your colleagues, past and present in the State House, seem to aspire to become judges and magistrates. What do you think of that?
There clearly is a revolving door. I think, and by the way, in the case of this current process, I was glad that Common Cause stepped up and called for there to be an ethics commission opinion based on the revolving door statute. They're always on the case, and that's good for all of us. Honestly, I don't have the specific policy reforms at my fingertips that this process needs. I think the more attention we're giving to ethics issues in state government, the better. So I welcome the conversation.
Maureen, as we know, former Representative Williamson is from West Warwick. He's friendly with former Speaker William Murphy, who's friendly with current Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. Do you agree that Tim Williamson has become a little bit too much of a hot potato for Governor Raimondo, particularly after the Don Lally situation, for her to choose him as a judge?
I quite agree. I mean, after Lally, I think she's got to be more sensitive to this. As I agree with Scott, there's always some politics, and we do have a fairly decent screening process whereby, particularly now with Sally Dowling at the head of this, I expect there'll be careful scrutiny
at the head of the Judicial Nominating
Committee, and so I expect there'll be scrutiny. What it comes down to is what kind of political appointments is the governor going to make? I think in terms of stepping out with Lally, I would be very surprised if she were to go ahead and sort of reinforce this same old, and I expect with her demeanor and the type of candidates that she picks, we can have an effective system.
We're short on time here, but before we go, I'd like to ask Representative Regenberg about the truck toll issue. This is expected to come up in the House of Representatives in the new session starting in January. Do you support the governor's truck toll proposal?
Yeah, I believe that the House is going to take this up at the beginning of the session and hopefully really try to move through it in just the first couple months. I think everyone agrees that this needs to be a top priority. It's an empirical fact. We're at the bottom of the barrel for our roads and bridges. It's not just a safety issue. Obviously, it's an economic competitiveness issue. So I think we're going to move forward. One plan that I really want to highlight, and I hope that it's a big part of the conversation, is we've heard some advocates and designers coming forward with a proposal to replace the 610 connector with a boulevard. I very much support that. I think that highway has a very damaging presence in parts of the city. It cuts off certain neighborhoods, and the boulevard would allow for more mass transit, more pedestrian options, biker options, and it could actually save us a boatload of money, not just because the 610 connector is ridiculously expensive to repair, but also because it can open up some major federal funding.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And Providence Democratic State Representative Aaron Regenberg.
Lovely being here.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.